Welcome to the Great Outdoor Show on WLVL, presented by Destination Niagara USA. To be a part of today's show, call in anytime, 716-433-1433.
Funky music, isn't it?
It woke me up there.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Tuesday, July 5th, and we are in studio with our very own Frank Campbell, who is the Niagara County Sport Fishing Coordinator and Outdoor Promotions Director for Destination Niagara USA, and he is the delivery man for the greatest breakfast sandwich and coffees in the world.
Well, I had to get on your good side after taking about 4 years to read the website for Reeling for a Cure. I almost had you on the floor over here this morning.
I don't care who you are. That was funny. Yeah, folks, if you missed the morning show this morning, just go to the podcast section on WLVL.com. Pick up today's date. And we'll see. So we have a call coming in. Do you think it's for sport fishing or do you think it's for tradio? What do you think?
I think it's Bill Hiltz Jr.
Ah, well, good morning. Welcome to WLVL. Who do we got here?
I'm looking for Captain Frank.
Well, I know who that is. He's still probably mad about I had his grandson on the outdoor beat last week, and his grandson referred – I asked his grandson, you know, Parker, who's a better fisherman, yourself or, Grandpa Bill? And he says, well, thought about it for a second. He says, well, definitely Grandpa Bill, because he's been around for a long time.
How long is a long time?
Well, I have been around for a long time.
Hey, Bill, The interview we did with Parker last week was phenomenal. It was he was great, and I think he shed light on a kid's perspective on going fishing and fishing these little kids tournaments. But a great interview, and he was excellent on TV, and he didn't. The best part about it is I didn't even have to give you any digs. He did.
You know, Parker is an amazing young individual, and hopefully some kids will learn something from that whole show that you did. You did a great job, Frank, and I think that the number of comments of people that have seen that show and the kinds of comments, it brought back memories from when they were a kid, and I've had people reach out to me. They'd like to take Parker fishing so that they can share some knowledge with him. Matt Wilson from Wheatfield wants to take him bass fishing. And Ned Leibrock from Pendleton wants to get him back out there again, wants to try to get him a walleye. So hopefully this will snowball, not just for Parker, but for kids in general.
Sure.
Getting more kids out there enjoying fish.
Sure, I agree, Bill. I think that was the whole, some of the premise behind the show was to let kids know that, Parker is a pretty ordinary kid, and he just absolutely loves fishing, and he's taken it to a little different level. But, I think that's should be a role model for other kids. Is what I'm thinking.
I don't know how long I'm going to have reception here, Frank.
Yes.
But one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is the Lock Derby started on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it happens every year. The 30-pound salmon was caught out of Wilson over the weekend, and they weren't in the Derby.
That's like a $10,000 mistake.
Oh, man.
Yep, $10,000 fish. And the amazing thing was it was caught on a boat by a local charter captain who's won in the Lock Derby before. So he knows the importance of you got to be in it to win it.
Yep, I say nothing to that.
You know exactly. But that was more of like a misguided error with yours, because the one guy was told to get in it and he didn't.
Yeah, the other guy was in it.
Catching a 32-pound salmon that would have won $25,000.
And he did the same thing because the Fish Odyssey was going on at the same point, so he would have been another $2,500 ahead of that.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like throwing away. I can remember the feeling in my stomach, you know, going from, man, we're gonna split up, you know, $8,000 each to, oh, you are such a bleep bleep bleep. You know, it's unbelievable.
So there was some really nice fish that were caught in that opening weekend of the Lock Derby, and there was one gentleman. His name was Jason Hayes from Michigan, and he was fishing out of Wilson, and he ended up catching a 25-pound salmon, or no, 27-pound salmon, I'm sorry.
Nice.
And a 12-pound steelhead. So he's leading the steelhead division, and he's first place in the salmon division on the same day, on the same trip.
I think
so
that...
talk about being lucky.
Well, lucky, and I think it you know, says something about the fishery we have.
Pardon me?
I said it really says something about the fishery we have.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's one of the best things about these derbies is it allows you some promotion points for really how special a fishery we have out there in Lake Erie, Lake Ontario. You know, wherever those events are.
Yeah, no, 100% in agreement. I mean, I don't know how many tournaments have been won or fish placed by people just out fishing for one thing, and suddenly something else, another species is on the line and ends up being a monster. It's just, you hear that story time and time again. You know.
Sure, and you know, there's some nice fish being caught. Brown trout. There's a second-place brown trout out of Alcott, and Roy Letcher sent me a note. Rayleigh Peterson from Pennsylvania was out fishing over the weekend, and, you know, she got a personal best brown trout. I think it was over 15 pounds. Wasn't big enough to take first place, but she is in second place.
And I
there's
think
a 28-pound salmon that was caught up the other end of the lake, which is unusual, but... these fish are spread out from one end of the lake to the other. So this is a great time to take advantage of some of the fishing that's going on.
Yeah, I think it's almost a time of the year, you know, the transition's over. The fish are really getting in that feed mode and setting up where they should be. People know, you know, that have some knowledge, know what's going on and what they want to hit and where to go to get the big fish. I'm sure that catching the browns that Roy caught, that the people with Roy caught, were not an accident. I mean, I think that they were targeting them, and you know, I know they got a 15 pounder, but they also had another fish that made the board the same day in the brown trout category, if I'm thinking correctly.
I might be losing you, Frank.
Okay. Well, we'll
can you hear me?
Yeah, I can still hear you, Bill. I can still hear you.
That lake trout that was caught, that's currently leading, it's going to be tough to beat. 29 pounds, 3 ounces.
Yeah, that's a monster. That's a monster. It's doable, but it's a monster. You got an uphill battle there.
Those lake trout are getting bigger and bigger every year.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think once, you know, people, I mean, salmon are our marquee species, and once people, you know, get their you know, boat heading in the salmon direction, it's a little bit different thing to target lakers. And, You have people that, you know, if they want to specifically target Lakers, they're going to have bigger fish to fish for, as in the brown trout. You know, really the salmon and steelhead have been carrying the fishery for, you know, several weeks now. And I believe Bill is gone.
He gone.
Okay.
Yeah, we had a little bit of a delay there for in between the talks, but yeah. He gone. Thanks, Bill Hiltz Jr., for checking in. You can call us back if you get back within range.
Yeah, I think, you know.
Are you still there?
You guys just came back in.
All right. Well, I didn't hang up.
Me?
Yep, we didn't hang up on you. Go ahead,
okay.
Bill. Go ahead.
I was just going to make a comment that with that lock derby, as it is for each of their derbies now, it's the biggest salmon that wins the grand prize. So even if the lake trout is bigger than the salmon overall, it's the grand prize still goes to the salmon because that's our marquee fish. That's the headliner.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I mean, I could see it both ways, actually, Bill. You know, you got your 35-pound Laker or 33-pound Laker or 31-pound brown. That's a heck of a fish, but, you know, understanding that the salmon is the marquee species and the most sought-after species, you know, it kind of does make sense. Now, Dave.
It sure is. Well, folks, you are listening to the greatest outdoor show in the world with our very own Frank Campbell, who is the Niagara County Sport Fishing Coordinator and Outdoor Promotions Director for Destination Niagara. And we have Bill Hills Jr. on the phone with us, sort of, as he is going in and out of the mountains. Are you going up and down mountains in West Virginia somewhere there, Bill? Or
No, I'm just heading over to my dad's house. I have to take him to the doctor, so.
Oh, actually, you're coming in really well now.
He's on top of the mountain.
Yes, we have risen to the occasion.
So, yeah,
well, I am going to let you guys go because I'm almost to my dad's. So I still think it's the second greatest outdoor show.
Oh.
You guys have a great show, and we'll be in touch with you again.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
I'm sure Bill is referring to his when he used to do the outdoor show as being the first, the greatest.
Well, I hate to tell him, but this is the outdoor show now because he had to go and retire. See how he is.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
and that's all right. We're having fun with Frank.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
hey, that could be the name of the show.
Fun with Frank. That would get you not too far in the world.
No.
No. Bill was talking a little bit about the LOC Derby, which is the Lake Ontario Counties Derby.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute.
It's a derby that's portioned off into three segments of the year. So they have the Spring Derby, they have the Summer Derby, and the Fall Derby. During the summer, which is going on right now, it runs from July 2nd till July 31st. And the grand prize is $10,000, but they do, kick out some pretty good money in every division, you know, to the tune of $1,000+. Dave Chilson does a great job running the event. And if you want more information, it's an easy website. It's loc.org. That's it. loc.org. L-O-C. .org. That's just for Eric. We had another website earlier that we took about 7 minutes to get the letters out for or get the word out for.
If you missed the morning show this morning, folks, shame on you. It was a good one. So again, if you have any questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, you want to pipe in on the conversation with Frank, it's okay. You can just give us a call at 433-1433. Don't forget to put the 716 in front, otherwise you will not get through. But you're listening to WLBL 1340 AM, 105.3 FM, streaming worldwide at WLBL.com. Again, with Frank Campbell, the world's greatest fishingman.
Well, okay. I'll take it.
You'll take that.
You know, we're talking a little bit about the LOC Derby, but there's also some other events coming up in August, starting the same day as the Fall Lock Derby, the 19th of August, and that is the Fish Odyssey, which we revamped last year. We're now using the Fish Chaos app. And what that allows us to do is it allows us to give people the opportunity to catch and release fish, because a lot of the species that were involved in the Fish Odyssey were fish that were recyclable, bass, walleye. And, you know, if you get trout and salmon in quick enough at that time of year, you can let them go. But, you know, the bass, definitely a catch and release option. Walleye, a catch and release option, and carp are a catch and release option. In the past, you had to take them to the weigh station, and we felt that that was a lot of times a waste of, not a waste, but, you know, something that shouldn't be done to a big fish. You know, this gives you the option to measure them out, take a picture through the app, and submit it, and choose to release the fish if you want to. You know, the nice thing is it also allows you to stay out fishing. You don't have to run to a weigh station. That contest starts at midnight on the 19th and goes all the way to the 28th. And you can fish any time frame in there and submit your fish. So if you're a nighttime fisherman, for example, you can fish at night. If you are, you know, fishing first thing in the morning and you want to stay out all day till dark, you can also do that. The opportunity's there. You don't have to go in. You don't have to weigh fish. So
great. Hey, we have a caller. What do you think of that? Good morning, caller. You are on WLVL with our very own Frank Campbell. How are you this morning?
Good. How are you?
All right. Good. What's your comment or thought or concern?
I'm wondering if you can eat.
You got to turn your radio down there, friend.
Okay. I'm wondering if you can eat panfish in the canal, out of the canal.
You want to know what? I would say that that water is flushed a pretty lot. And, you know, within a reasonable amount, smaller fish, you probably could. But what I would do is I would check with the New York State regulations on that. And it would tell you, you know, the acceptable levels of fish. Certain fish, certain panfish are going to be around longer and bigger, growing slower. And they're going to, you know, accumulate some more contaminants if that is an issue. So I would definitely look at eating the smaller ones if possible. And if you refer to the New York State DEC website or the book, it will tell you, you know, consumption advisory. And I believe also Niagara County has out consumption, you know, parameters that, you know, are acceptable. For example, I know Lake Ontario, they just dropped the salmon advisory. Anyone can eat salmon. There's no longer, you know, women of childbearing age or kids not being able to eat salmon. So it wouldn't surprise me that the canal, and it probably depends on which section of the canal as much as anything else.
Yeah, Niagara County.
I mean, you know, what I would do is look into it. And if you go to the DEC website or go to the DEC booklet, it would tell you, you know, what the acceptable levels of consumption are. And my
all
guess
right, thank
is
you very
probably
much.
Doable. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, caller. Good question.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. And that brings up a great point. I think that what's happening in nowadays is our waters are becoming a lot cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been a real crackdown on pollution and dumping contaminants into our local waterways. So you're finding, you know, the fish to be a lot cleaner, a lot more consumable, but you definitely got to do your homework. I mean, there's areas that have been historically, you know, hot areas, and you probably don't want to eat fish out of there, even if, you know, it's been cleaned up a little bit. But that's why I always tell people to refer to the DEC website or, you know, the county offices that advise you on fish consumption.
Sure. Plus, how many years has it been since they haven't been able to dump snow in the canal?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You
I
know,
mean,
with all the oils and salts and everything else in there,
and it's made a big difference. And
sure
I think that's important. You know, people want to eat fish. It's a good, healthy thing to eat, and you know, it's just a reward for a great day fishing. So, you know, always look and take the best approach, and that's the safest approach.
That's absolutely. We have another caller here. Good morning. You're on WLVL with Frank Campbell and the greatest outdoor fishing show in the world. How are you this morning?
How you doing, Eric and Frank?
Good. We're having...
Yeah, on the subject we're talking about, and I'm kind of glad it came up. I was up on a canal bank this morning, and I'm telling you what, the carp up there this morning were going nuts. It's a whole bunch of them, like four, all swimming right side by side, you know, splashing around. I don't know if they were playing or fighting or what was going on.
Probably getting ready to spawn, believe it or not.
And the canal is actually cleaned up pretty good lately.
Yep. Well, I think it helps that they're raising and lowering the water level, and that the water does have a current to it, so it is flowing. And all that, I think, plays into the equation of the canal being, you know, cleaner than it probably ever has.
Yeah, I think it is, because, I mean, if you were to siphon a barrel out of it, it's, you know, not as crystal clear as tap water, but, it, you know, it's not murky like it was years and years and years ago.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a great point.
But on the same point, I've been thinking about this since the spring, and I've been waiting for you to come on so I can ask you this. You know, when we talk about pollution in the waterways and you know, what fish you can eat out of this water body and that water body, and then comes St. Patrick's Day, and there are communities that dye their rivers and bodies of water green for St. Patrick's Day. Personally, I think that's just ignorant, and I'm wondering what your take is on that.
Yeah, I think one thing that would have to come into play would be the fact that I'm pretty sure that what they're dyeing it is with food.
Oh, I'm sure it's non-toxic, but it's just the idea that, you know, we're trying to clean things up, yep, and you're dumping dye, yep, into a waterway. I just don't understand.
Yeah, it kind of doesn't make sense. I mean, obviously, it has to have some type of effect on fish, you know, their ability to feed, maybe. It's not something that they're used to, the water being stained or being clear is what they're used to, and then you put green in there, and it changes things. So I wouldn't doubt it if some point they quit that practice just because of that, you know, due to the fact that it's, you know, it's something that's not natural, and we really want to see our waters cleaned up, and they're doing, you know, exactly that. They're making great strides.
I'm thinking there's absolutely no benefit to it all other than it's for, you know, a Hallmark holiday.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. I don't think, I mean, I don't know that they do it anywhere around here, but that being said, I know they do it in Chicago and places like that. And, you know, I guess I would be in the same corner as you. You know, why would you do it? You know, it just doesn't make sense.
I think instead of spending too much money dumping dye in there, they could spend some money and clean out some storm drains.
Yeah,
something beneficial for us.
Exactly. You know, spend the money fighting the carp.
Just my opinion.
No,
like I say, I've been waiting for a while to bring the subject up. So
yeah, I have a tendency to agree with you on that.
Okay.
Yeah, good stuff. Thanks, John.
All right. Have a good day.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Yep.
Bye. You know, there is literature out there that you can, you know, obtain as far as eating, consumption of fish. And New York State Health Department puts out, you know, some of that information. I know in Niagara County, but if you look for it, it's there. My guess is that the canal would be, you know, some type of an advisory or consumption limits on certain fish that maybe are slow growing, such as carp, catfish, things of that nature, and they're bottom feeders, they're bottom oriented, and that's where a lot of their food comes from, as opposed to panfish, which are, you know, higher in the water column, and they're eating minnows, things of that nature.
All right, well, folks, you are listening to Frank Campbell here on WLVL. We'll be right back after station identification.
Niagara County's information station, 1340 AM and 105.3 FM. WLVL.
Okay, Frank, so now John was busting my chops earlier, John, our own very own jaw laser, about the Pittsburgh, what's the name of the team?
It is the Pirates.
The Pirates, not the Patriots.
It's not the Patriots, and they don't drop the first pitch.
They don't drop it?
No.
They better not drop it. Somebody be in trouble.
Exactly.
Hey, folks, listen, if you want to join in on this conversation, don't be afraid to give us a call. We're just having fun here talking about fish. and football or something. 433-1433 is the number to call to get in the conversation with Frank and Eric. And John might jump in too if I keep talking about his Pittsburgh boys at home.
Yeah, you might lock the door up there.
Yeah, that's right. Lock the door and master control.
Yeah, so we left off before that caller talking about the Fish Odyssey.
Yes.
And again, the dates for the Fish Odyssey this year are the 19th of August to the 28th of August. Multiple species involved in the event. It's first place in each species division is $1,000 in the adult division. And then they draw out for the grand prize of $2,500.
So, man, that's no joke.
Yeah, there's a little bit of money involved. It's reasonable to get into to fish the whole eight-day event. Mm-hmm. It's $30. Or you can get a one-day pass for $10. We pay out more than 100% on the event. And there's also some cool draw prizes. If anyone wants information, you can either go to the fishodyssey.net or you can look up our Facebook page, which is Fish Odyssey. Fish Odyssey will continue to run during that time frame. And we also have a kids division, which is free. Nothing at no cost to the kids. And we give away some great prizes with that. During the event, if you happen to get a winning fish, then you would go to the award ceremony, which will be held this year through NYPA, the New York State Power Authority, during our Wildlife Festival in September. There's a little bit of a gap there, but it allows us to make sure everything's right. If we have to give lie detectors, anything of that nature, it's all done ahead of time. So, believe it or not, there's been instances where lie detectors have been given in other events, and I don't know too many people that have failed, but actually in Texas, believe it or not, it is a felony to cheat during a fishing contest, and a gentleman was caught, and he was
hung.
Well, in Texas you might be, but he actually won $25,000 in a fishing tournament and cheated to do so and was charged with a felony in the state of Texas. So there are people, no matter what you do, when there's money involved, they go a little bit beyond what normal people would do to win.
Right.
And in Texas, they don't take it. So here, some of the events do have lie detectors. I know in the Sunset Bay Shootout, which is coming up in Lake Erie for walleye, you have a scenario where you fish the event on Saturday, and on Sunday at the awards breakfast, they do give out lie detectors. So, it always keeps people honest and keeps you on the same playing field as everyone else and make sure everyone's following the rules. And that's a little deterrent from, taking the cheating route to, win some money. It's pretty interesting, what level people would go to. But in back to the Fish Odyssey, in the event, we switched over to Fish Chaos app, which is... Oh, we are not going to hang them, John. Or Eric. Yeah, in other words, that's Eric's telling you don't cheat.
That's right. Down you go. Sorry, I couldn't resist.
Yeah, it's been proven several times. People fishing in not only local events but also national events. When you're dealing with big money, it's amazing to what people would do to. Win. I don't know if it's the prize money or the prize or just the fact that they're winning. It's absolutely nuts.
Wow, yeah. Take a good fishing sport and do something stupid. I don't know. Good morning. You're on WLVL with our very own Frank Campbell. And what is your thought?
Well, good morning.
Well, good morning to you. Good What's morning. Going on?
Can I do a little nostalgia?
Sure.
I'm talking about Skip Hartman.
Oh, Skip. Skip was a great guy.
Skip was one of my best friends.
Yeah.
And he was head of communications and electronics at Harrison's for many years. And, heavens, he took me out on his boat, and he had downriggers like you would not believe.
Yeah. I believe his boat was the Insane Engine. If I'm correct, that his kids actually took over. The Pro-Am Derby here in Niagara County is named after him. It's the Skip Harper Memorial, and I actually had the privilege of serving on the Niagara County Fisheries Board.
And I think Skip. That's wonderful.
Yeah, Skip, you would find, Skip to be one of the most knowledgeable people when it came to the fishery, but also he did his homework, and he was dedicated to it. So, you know, we need more individuals like Skip was. Kudos out to his daughter, Penny, who continues on his legacy in running the Niagara County Pro-Am.
They're carrying on.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
And thank you for listening.
No, thank you for the call. And, you know, there's a lot of great sports people here in Niagara County that, that deserve, to get their names mentioned, and Skip being right at the top of the list.
And absolutely. Yes. Thank you again.
Well, thank you for the call.
Very good. Thank you, caller. Bringing back some old good memories there, huh?
Yeah. Skip was chairman of the Niagara County Fisheries Board when I was beginning on it, and that was a long time ago. Skip also had a lot of, great ideas that he brought to Niagara County, be it a pro-am type tournament, which runs in June, which his daughter Penny is now running, where we teamed up with, or he teamed up with, Lawrence Electronics. And at that time, it was the Lawrence Electronics Pro-Am, and it was basically new on the Great Lakes, and people couldn't believe that, there was this much excitement about the fishery. But Skip was a great man, I will say that.
So he's somewhat of a pioneer in this sport fishing.
Absolutely.
Good. It's great to bring up some good memories then.
Yeah.
Days gone past as we're building memories of current times.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of individuals that have done a lot of positive things for the fishery and for the outdoor world here in Niagara County. And, we owe it to them, really, what we have nowadays, which is probably the best sport, freshwater sport fishing in the country. And, without their laying the foundation for all of this, we never would have what we have now. So, we really need to step back and remember those people at some point. So we really appreciate the lady who just called and, reminded us of what Skip was all about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And, we are on the Fish Odyssey and the Fish Chaos app.
Speaking of ladies.
It's a little bit of
what are we going to be doing in?
Reeling for a Cure.
That's right.
Reeling for a Cure is the 19th of August. It is a all-woman event, at least team-wise. And what happens is they go out and they fish Lake Ontario for, competing with the other ladies on the other boats and come back to an awesome weigh-in at Corral Park in Olcott. Last year, I believe the event drew between 200 and 250 ladies on 40-some teams. They raised about 40 teams. Yeah, I would say 40,
wow.
40, low 40s. They always sell out the event, I guess it doesn't sell out. I guess it fills up. So there's only so many boats available and to take them out, and there's pretty much people waiting to get in every year. It's a great cause. Stephanie does a great job where she raises money for different women's cancer, basically cancer outlets. And, I think last year she raised in the neighborhood of, I want to say, $12,000, somewhere in that neck of the woods.
Bless her soul.
Yeah, and it was a great event. The weigh-in was probably my favorite part of the event last year, where all these different teams came in their uniforms, and they had the best dressed team event where they went up there and they paraded around, and it's just a really, really, really good time, and it's for a really, really good cause. If you want more information, you can go to the website at reelinforacure.com.
How do you spell that, Frank?
It is reelinforacure. Reeling for a Cure.
Foracu.
No, there's not an A in it.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, really. Yeah, for A. Reeling for Ucure.
Yes, but there's no G for reeling. Yes. It's reeling, not reeling.
Like reeling in the ears.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Perfect segue for the guitar, so I'll give you a chance to stretch.
Yeah. Eric's having himself a little bit too much fun today.
He is. So, all right, folks. You want to join this fun conversation, give us a call at 433-1433 to join Frank and Eric and Fish.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about the contest coming up, but I think, I was actually on a web page or on Facebook or something, social media-ish, and there were people asking, what is a good price to pay for a fishing charter here in the local area? And I guess that's a little bit,
somewhat subjective.
Yeah, somewhat subjective. I mean, depending on what you can afford and, what the going rate is. But most of the captains out there are good captains. You really have to, consider a couple things when looking for a charter. You have to make sure, number one, they have a captain's license. There have been, different times where people have taken people out in a boat and they haven't been, Coast Guard licensed captains. And you could get yourself in trouble, doing something like that. Reasoning is a U.S. Coast Guard licensed captain has to, basically take a Coast Guard test and pass it. So they have the qualifications to take people out and charge money to do so. But also the safety equipment that they have on their boat is above and beyond what is required for a normal vessel in New York State waters or in the Great Lakes waters, where it's actually a federal license given by the U.S. Coast Guard. So you want to make sure that they have a Coast Guard license. You also want to make sure that they have some type of insurance. A lot of the guys that may be cutting prices, they cut things out, and insurance might be one of them. You want to always make sure that if something does happen, there's always the possibility of being compensated for it. As far as price on captains, you got to look at the size of the boat. You got to look at the experience, things of that nature. But as with anything else, you really don't want to be going with the lowest price guy just to go with the lowest price guy. I mean, as everyone says in life, you get what you pay for. And that's very true with the charter captains. A lot of times guys come in and try to reestablish what the price range should be, and they're coming in and just running, the cheapest trip they can, and that's really not what you want to look for. You want to look for qualifications, experience, what type of boat they have, how often are they on the water, and one of the biggest things is get references. There's a lot of people that go out on a lot of charters here in Niagara County and all over the place. Try to find someone that can reference you to one of the captains that they've been out with, and you're going to find that, you're going to have a great great experience and, favorable results. I mean, it's not always about catching the most fish. It's also got to be a safe environment and a good time. Like what I tell people all the time is, we're going to have a good time. We're going to catch some fish. But the biggest thing is we're going to get back to the dock in one piece, and that's
important.
Yeah, that's always it's a successful day when you can go out, spend the day on the water, have a good time, catch some fish, and then get back to the dock. And that's really what the captains want to ensure is that you're safely leave the dock and safely return to the dock, and in that time that you're out there, catch some fish, have a good experience, and we want you to go out there and tell your friends or tell your neighbors, hey, this is the guy you really want to go with. And you're going to find that there's a lot of captains, a lot of good captains, and, people will refer you to, the captain that they choose based on, their past experience.
Sure.
And I think that's important.
Absolutely. And I've met some of these captains around here. I actually gave lessons to a captain's daughter here for a few years, and they're just a hoot.
Yeah, some of them are.
Fun guys. I mean, they got stories to tell, and they're so outrageous, they got to be true. because nobody could make stuff up like that.
If you've been doing something long enough, you find some craziness in it.
That's right.
You know, we all have. You're talking, you know, we're talking a little bit about price, too. And, you know, people have to realize that the price of everything's going up.
That's
the
right.
The price of gas for a boat is crazy.
Would you say it was $6.50 or something like that a gallon?
It's close to $6.50 a gallon now, yeah. And that's off the water. You get on the water, you're paying over $7 a gallon for gas.
Sure.
For the boats that can't pull in and out. And never in 32 years of chartering have I ever put $200 in the boat in one sitting. Well, the pump turned off at 200 the other day. So
then you had to restart it and do it again.
Yeah, well, I didn't because I knew that I had plenty of gas. But at that point in time, you're like, holy cow, you know. And so guys have adjusted their prices. Guys are probably charging a little bit more now. And it's not because they're looking to get rich off of it. I mean, really, if you're running a charter these days, you have every cost has gone up from gas to, you know, getting the proper lures to line to name it, you know, insurance, docking. It's just it's not a business where you're going to generally get rich doing it. You know, people do it. Captains usually do it for the love of being on the water and dealing sure. with people. You know, and at the end of the day, when you send people away with smiles and a great memory, it's right. you know, it's priceless.
Maybe
you know?
It makes it so they can afford to own their boat.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
and
about it.
If you really think about it, you know, people that go out and buy boats, you have the cost of everything that I said between insurance, boat payment, gas, you know, all the equipment that you have. Charters are a pretty reasonable option if you're only going to go out, you know, 3-4 times a year. You take out a charter, you know, you got all the stuff prepaid. You don't have to put any more money in for gas, things of that nature. So it's a nice option to have. You know, and what I tell people is if you really think about it, you know, people that are in trades, be it a plumber or be it an electrician or anything like that, they're making, you know, probably on average more than what these captains are per hour put in. So, you know, I like to put it in that perspective.
Sure.
You know, so I would say the average captain around here is probably running between $150 and $250 per person for the day, which if you break it down is pretty reasonable for a 6 to 8 hour day.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not outrageous. And you know, what I tell guys is if, you know, you can't afford it, I get it. But the nice thing is there's always great options of fishing offshore here or, you know, owning your own boat. You know, that's the nice thing about the area.
Yeah, well, owning your own boat, let's talk about what, $40,000,
$50,000? Oh,
minimum?
Minimum.
Minimum.
Now, if you want a new boat, yeah, it's going to be more than that. So,
yeah.
So you know, it's not a cheap endeavor. A
couple $100 for a nice afternoon out is less than one boat payment.
Exactly. And the key is, what I always tell people is, you have a boat, that boat payment doesn't go away during the winter when you have it stored for, you know, 5 months. You're paying
Ouch.
5 months worth of nothing, you know, is pretty much what it comes down to.
Painful. What do they say the two best days in a men's life are?
A boat owner's best 2 days of a boat owner's life are the day he buys it and the day he sells it. Yeah, exactly.
Sounds about right. Yeah, I definitely would prefer using someone else's boat.
Yeah.
No question about that. So, folks, you can still get in under the wire here at WLVL, 433-1433. If you want to slip some comments or some fun in with us here with Frank and Eric, WLVL 1340 AM 105.3 FM.
Yeah, you know, Eric, real quickly here as we close out, you know, I just want to tell people that the best fishing of the year is coming up.
It is.
Fishing has stabilized. You're talking about Lake Ontario salmon setting up, and they're getting big. They're on a feed. Fishing's been good for those fish out in Lake Ontario, in addition to the steelhead. The brown trout are really coming along, and the lake trout. So any of the salmonoids out in Lake Ontario, the fishing is just going to continue to get better, and it'll peak. Get out there and get them.
Absolutely. No worries there.
And
what else we got?
You also have great walleye fishing starting to occur off Buffalo in Lake Erie. You know, it seems like the fish are starting to show up in better numbers, looking in the 50-foot range and out, which is a little bit of a haul from Buffalo, but it's a lot closer than going to Dunkirk and Barcelona where some of these guys have been going. And then the bass fishing. The bass fishing's really starting to ramp up. I was out the other day, and we caught a good number of fish in the lower Niagara River, but Lake Erie's producing some big fish too. So take advantage of the weather. Take advantage of the kids being off for summer vacation. Get them out there and get them into some fish.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, folks, you've been listening to Frank Campbell and Eric Cook here on the greatest outdoor show in the world. Frank, I'd love to thank you for joining us this afternoon, or this morning, I'm sorry. We'll see you in a few more weeks, I hope.
We'll talk to you on Tuesday.
A millionaire and his wife, the movie star, the professor and Mary Ann.